rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judah, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words, for these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel, and it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bondservants, both men and women, I will in those days pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the skies above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved." Father, we just thank you for your spirit, Father. Lord, pour your spirit out. We receive your spirit within this house today, Father. Lord, we know, Lord God, that you are sitting at the throne, the right hand of your Father. And Lord, that you have poured out your spirit upon this community and upon this nation. Yes, right, and upon this church, Father. Father, we receive your spirit, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Receive it. Before we get into what the Lord's laid on my heart today, this is the book we're going to be using this Thursday. I want you to flip into your Bibles to 2 Timothy. We're going to start in 2 Timothy 2:2. You've heard this from me before. Your spiritual condition is your own responsibility. Amen? Where you're at spiritually is your own responsibility. I can't do anything about it for you. All I can do is, I can get up here and preach every Sunday and I can fill you with the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the Word of God. But how you grow in the things of God is completely and deliberately up to you. If you don't make any effort, I say this to my boys all the time. You can ask my boys when you're leaving. Readers make leaders. The more you learn, the more you're going to earn. I've heard that over and over in my life, most of my life. My dad implanted it into me. My dad was not a very godly man. But I've taken those principles into my life also in the Word of God. Where you're at spiritually, you'll never grow. One of the things the Lord mandated me to do years ago is 2 Timothy 2:2. When I read this scripture one time in my private time, the Lord told me, "This is what I've called you to do." And I believe it's a mandate to every person in this earth. It says here, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others." Okay? This is Paul talking to Timothy. Timothy was his little disciple or one of his sons. And what he was doing is mandating to him. Now, what God was speaking to me was exactly the same thing. Now, I want to go down a little further, down to verse 15. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of God." The only way you're ever going to accurately handle the Word of God is to know the Word of God. Amen? The only way we change in life is implanting the Word of God into us. The Word became flesh and what? Dwelt among us. The Word was Jesus. Amen? There is no excuse in today's world to be an immature Christian and not appropriate the things of God. That's what the Lord spoke to me. There are more supplements available to us in the body of Christ. I mean, there are oogles and oogles. I mean, I've got bookshelves of books just from where I went to Bible college. Amen. Now, this one isn't from, this is from Beth Jones. The Word of God is our main course. Okay, everything that we read in our supplements. How many people take supplements around here? How many people take vitamins? You know, we all take vitamins. I get this little pack every day my wife gives me, and there's like 15 pills. I mean, you could eat breakfast with all the pills in this thing for me. And I put them all together, and I swallow them all down in the morning. And all they help my hair grow. Whatever they do, I don't know. I need a little more supplements. But what I'm trying to say to you, there's enough supplements around that you can find on any area that you might be struggling with. That being said, what the Lord said to me this week is, we're going to start supplementing you. Okay? Every time we get together, I was kind of sharing with April, even in prayer, there are supplements we can do. Every time we get together, we need to be sharing the word with one another. Every time. Because what? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word of God. If we're not getting the word of God into you, we're never going to change anything. You know, we just sang that song, we want to move, move God. God's not moving, man. He's sitting at the right hand of God. How is he going to move? He's going to move through you. Until you become proficient in the word of God, the devil's going to bind you to never move. You're going to see yourself as inadequate to move. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. Oh, is that really you, God? It's proficiency in the Word of God and being led by the Spirit of God. What we just read in Acts, Jesus said, they were already filled with the Word of God. Jesus said, no, you wait until I empower you from on high. You're empowered. The minute you become born again, where is Christ? He's in you. He wants to move through you. All you have to do is become proficient. I don't like the word proficient. You're right, Lord. Confident in the Word of God. Once you become confident in the Word of God, you'll step out. And when you step out, the Holy Ghost will move right through you. You'll raise the dead. Why aren't we seeing the miracles today? Why aren't we seeing Azusa Street today? Go look at church history. Cycles. Because people weren't proficient or people weren't confident in the Word of God. I studied Azusa Street. Actually, you ever heard of a guy named Brenham? William Brenham? You ever heard of him? There was actually a Brenhamite church right here on the corner here in Greentown. William Brenham, he was called to the White House to raise people and pray for presidents. People were raised from the dead from this guy. Now, he did get off. Zion, Illinois was actually founded by him. But he was proficient in the Word of God. And I'm telling you, that was the beginning. Azusa Street. Azusa Street started with what we have right here. 10 or 15 little people. They got proficient in the Word of God. God showed up, poured his Spirit out upon it, and it moved all over the world. It was the beginning of what we know as the faith movement. What happened in the 70s? There was a place, and I looked into this, the movement of the Spirit in the 70s all through Indiana, all through central Indiana, started in a little barn up by Wabash. A bunch of little kids got together, just reading their Bibles. The Spirit started moving, and it started a whole movement. Community Bible Church, the founder of this church, if you go back in time, Roy King was his name, was a young man who basically was in a Mennonite church, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and basically found this. Had to leave that church and come over and start this. I mean, the way that God moves is through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. It's hand in hand. And if we're ever going to change kind of what's going on in our community, because the church is dying, folks. In 80% of the world, the church is growing. In 20% of the world, the church is dying. And guess what side of the teeter-totter we're on? We're on the side that is dying. And God is waiting to pour his Spirit out. But he can't pour his Spirit out until his word is declared. Amen? And we're going to take that to another level in this, because my heart's desire is that you change this world. Not me. I'm just a tool. My job is to what? Equip the saints. To get the word into you and to give you all the tools that you need. I grew up as a flooring contractor. Well, to put floors in, you need a multitude of tools. And not only do you need the tools, you can have all the tools on your van, but if you don't know how to use the tools, you're never going to get a floor in. My job is to take those tools, the Word of God, get it to you, get you proficient into how to use the tools, what they're for, and then put you to work. And then allow the Spirit of God to flow through you every day at work, at play. Can I pick on you, Dale? I mean, I've got to get him so proficient in the Word with the people that he deals with every day in the ministry that God's called him to, that he is setting people free from their bondages. That's the same thing. Now, it's very graphic with Dale because he deals with, he runs NA meetings, so you don't know. So that he can get the people free, because there's a big difference between dealing with addiction and getting people set free. But you guys go across the same amount of people every day. In the stores, at your workplace, at schools, wherever you go, God is putting you across people that need to be set free. And you need to be proficient in the Word of God and listening to the Spirit of God so that you can set them free. I mean, think about how the apostles moved. They went out when Jesus sent them out. When we talked about this a few weeks ago, Jesus sent them out to look for people, look for opportunities that they could, what? Talk about Jesus. Talk about what God was doing in their life and then helping them get set free and brought back to the Master. That's our example of how we're to be ministering to people in the world. Amen? And we're going to take it to another level. I'm going to make it so easy for you to get resources for anything. This is just the beginning of it. When April gets together, we're going to have a little prayer guide. I'm going to have books for you. Now, I mean, because of my cut of cloth where I came, a lot of this stuff's going to come from Rhema or the Word of Faith people. Not that that's the only avenue, okay, because there's not. I mean, I don't care whether it's Methodist, Wesleyan, Baptist. I really don't care where it comes from. I study out of all of them. There's some things I'm going to share this morning that came straight from Moody, okay? It doesn't really matter where the information comes from, as long as the tool is the right tool to get the job done. And that's what we're going to make available to you. What the Lord kind of shared with me, and it was a spanking on me, is, John, you're going too slow. Okay? We got to take this up a notch. I got to get moving. The Lord wants to do a lot more, and you need to step out with me. And this is a big step. But I'm going to have things whenever April gets together with prayer. She's going to have a little book. I'm going to get these books, and we're just going to start. And what they are is basically just lessons on prayer. So you're learning how to pray, because the more efficient you become in prayer, the better you're going to pray. Getting a grip on the basics. I'm going to start discipling. My job is to disciple you to start doing the work. We're going to start gearing this thing up where people can start building themselves up in the things of God. Because there are a lot of people called to ministry that never step out in ministry because they don't think they're equipped to do it, okay? And I'm not talking about standing behind the pulpit. I'm talking about doing ministry every day. That being said, there are people within this community, maybe sitting right here, that might be called of God to stand behind a pulpit and teach. We need to get them equipped so that they know what they're doing. You got to get rid of the stinking thinking so that you can actually minister the Word of God. Amen? I don't care who you are. You got a box, and God sits in that little box. You know, if you're raised Methodist, you got a Methodist box. If you're raised Catholic like I was, I got a Catholic box. We got to get rid of some of the way that we've been implanted from the day we were this big and get into the freedom of the Word and the freedom of the Spirit. The Word will unlock you. The Spirit will bring the freedom in your life. Amen? All right, well, that was all free. Glory to God. Thursday afternoon, we're going to start, or Thursday evening. There is homework, okay? You don't grow unless you do the work, okay? You're responsible for it, not me, okay? I'm going to make it available, and everyone goes, because of busy times, we go, oh, I can't do it, I can't do it. Let me share this with you. Go to 1 John 2:20. I might not even get to my message. Who knows? 1 John 2:20. I want you to see something. And Nicole, you can take this right to the bank the next time you start studying. 1 John 2:20. Young lady, you put way too much pressure on yourself at school. You know why? I'm going to unlock something to you real quick. 1 John 2:20 says here, but you have an anointing, an unction. That word is unction. From the Holy One, and you know all things. In you is everything that you need. Okay? Now go over to John 14:26. This is why he sent the Holy Spirit. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father has sent in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. He's your teacher, not me. Amen? And his promise to you, Nicole, I want you to read that word. What's it say? How many things? How many things will he bring? Does that include veterinary things? Okay? Think about it. All things. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. That's his job. You do the work. Because I have a hard time. This is just me. I'll tell on me. I have a hard time remembering addresses. John 3:16. I have a hard time remembering where things are. And the Lord said, you don't need to remember all that. He says, all you got to do is open your mouth and share. And I'll bring it out of you if you put it in. That's his promise. See, Nicole, if you go do the work, you go study, you go do your test, you can sit in that little chair and go, guess what? I got the Holy Spirit. He's going to bring it all to my remembrance. We put way too much pressure on you. That's how I got through Bible college. Because they were firing stuff so fast. I remember my first week in Bible college was like, I'm sunk. So you know my background. When I was 16, I was in jail, okay? I was a very smart little man. I came from a good family, but I was in jail. And the school that I was in wasn't one of the premier schools in Hawaii. So I was very insecure in what I knew. I came from a very astute family. My parents were both educators. My brother probably forgot more by the time he was 18 than I ever learned. My older brother, my younger brother went through college on a scholarship paid for by Bank of Hawaii when he was 17 years old. So I was very insecure in who I was. I survived. I got saved 10 or so years later and then came here, was here in Indiana for a few years, and the Lord said, go to Bible college. It was a big step for me. Not that I didn't do good in school, but I wasn't trained how to do it every day. So I walk into school and probably a lot like Nicole, holy cow, they're going to give me all this. I had to start sorting it and thinking about it. If you walk into my shop, I have little files all over. I call it little NSA files. Well, that's how I focus, man. I have little file. Every job, every person that comes in signs a little piece of paper. I stick it in a file. That's kind of how my brain works. You know, and when you're in Bible college, you're taking 6 courses every quarter. Here you're in the Holy Spirit, and then next thing you know, in church history, and then I'm like, woo! I mean, my first week was like, I'm never going to make it. Lord, open those scriptures to my mind. I'll bring it all to remembrance. You do the work. All you got to do is apply. And I heard this all through Bible school. You do the possible, Let me do the impossible. And I live by that now. I just do the possible. I love to read. Reading has always been easy for me. So, because I grew up listening to my dad, readers make leaders, readers make leaders. So I've always read. So reading's easy, but how do you read it and then get it to hear or into your heart? That's the main thing. It's not up to you. All you're responsible for getting it to hear. It's up to the Holy Spirit to get into your heart. Amen. He'll speak to you. All right, glory to God. Whew! Well, I just took all my time. Before we get out of here, I do want to share this with you. Last week we talked a little bit about El Shaddai. And I got into the word blessing a little bit. Before you leave today, I want to share with you a couple things about blessing. What it is to be blessed, because there's a lot of confusion within the body of Christ about what it is to live a blessed life. You go to the charismatic side and you got, well, it's okay. You know, you can believe God for houses. You can believe God for cars. You can believe, and those are blessings in life. And then you go to the other extreme and, well, it's better to be poor and it's better to be this and it's better to be humble and all this. But there's a balance in this, okay? And God has told us that he will bless us in life. And what I want to share with you this morning is just two definitions, because I want to share the Old Testament definition of what it is to be blessed and what it is in the New Testament, okay? Larry, go ahead and put up Barak for me. This is the Hebrew for blessing. If you are blessed, means to endow with power for success, prosperity, fertility, and longevity. Does that sound like some of the stuff I shared last week? Okay, that's when God made covenant with Abraham. That's what he said, I will bless you. This is why you got a lot of rich people around, a lot of rich Hebrews around and Jewish people around, because they believe this. They believe that if they were willing and obedient, they would eat the good of the land. And it's based on that. They would hear, if they lived their little lives according to what the law was, God would bring blessing into their lives. And all they did is, it was works. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, they were willing and obedient, but it took faith. There was just as much faith in the Old Testament as there is in the New Testament. Faith has never gone away. They had to believe that God gave them the covenant. They had to believe in the covenant, which is faith, and then they had to act on the covenant. Okay, that's the same today. That doesn't change. I don't care whether you're born again, if you were living under the old covenant or the new covenant. That's the same way it works today. Amen. Now I want to go over to, why don't you go ahead and go over to makos. Makos is a New Testament word that you see in the Greek, in the New Testament. It says, to be happy or blissful, to have a self-contained happiness. What's that describing? That's actually describing what happens when anyone is born again. Self-contained. Okay? It's in you. Jesus said, you know, in the Beatitudes, if you take a look at everything he shared there, I am basically taking everything, I've taken about 6 hours of notes here and giving it to you in about 2 minutes. I'm going to read something from a guy named Greg Laurie. Does anyone know who Greg Laurie is? He was a movement in that whole 70s movement we just talked about. Okay, he pastors a church out in California. And this will give you a very good picture of what it is to be blessed. The Greeks call the island of Cyprus the Happy Island. They believe that because of its geographic location, perfect climate and fertile soil, that anyone who lived in Cyprus had it made in the shade. And the term they associated with the island was Markakos. They believed everything needed to be happy was right here in Cyprus. You hear it from me all the time. Everything you need to succeed is where? It's in you. We can't all move to Cyprus, but the idea is that our happiness is independent of our circumstances. Amen? Because there is a lot of pressure within, especially the charismatic movement, to acquire things. Things never bring happiness. Amen? Your true happiness comes from your relationship with Jesus Christ. And now you see where I'm going with this. It's a combination of both. The Lord says he gives us all things to enjoy. Now, if you enjoy, I'll use me for an example, a 2016 ZR5 Corvette with 520 horsepower and 600 pounds of torque pressure, He'll give that to John to enjoy. That's just me. But what brings me joy may not bring that joy to April. I know it won't bring joy to my wife, because all she sees is speeding tickets. You see where I'm going? It first starts within your heart. There's a balance of both things. If you don't have a relationship with God, if you don't have the inner peace, the self-contained peace, what it is to be born again, if you don't have that, there's nothing in this world that's going to bring it to you. Those are what we will go back to, supplements. If you've got the faith to believe for it and you've got the money for it, I don't own one, okay, yet. that being said, yet, I will. But it's not a priority in my life right now, okay? Set your priorities. But if I needed that Corvette to win somebody to the Lord, I'm sure the Lord would give it to me. No. balance in everything. There's a middle of the road. That's one of Brother Hagin's little favorites. There's a ditch on both sides. Stay right down the middle. There's a balance in everything we do in life. The good thing, he's given us all good things to enjoy. Go enjoy life, but life starts in your heart with Jesus. If you don't have that, none of the other peripheral stuff. But what I want you to understand is, out of Barak, they needed faith and they needed obedience. That's how you get the good things in your life. Faith and obedience. Learning the things of God and being obedient to do what God's called you to do. I'll use the promises of God. We can all know about the promises of God. And then if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. I want to break that down for you. There's two conditions there. You got to be obedient and you got to be willing. There's a lot of people doing things just because they have to. If you're not willing and obedient, you're not going to get the good of the land. So it's a heart condition. It's a heart condition that brings the things in your life. Amen. Glory to God.